Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Well, good morning, and I hope that everyone is enjoying the new year so far. It is the seventh day of 2016. So, you know, folks, the question here seems to be, what was your resolution for the new year? How are you planning on conquering the new thing that you're going to take on? And for most of us, it's probably the same exact thing that we wrote down last year and the year before and the year before. So my question to everyone is, how long is it going to be before you get committed enough to be more willing to do it for more than 7 days, 7 weeks, or 7 months? It's a lifestyle change. We need to do that, whether it's the gym, the diet, you know, the self-help, the being a better spouse, being a better parent, being a better child, be a better employee, whatever it might be. Become that well-known speaker. Whatever your choice is in 2016, you have to commit to it. You really have to. Because writing it down on a piece of paper means nothing if you take no action towards it. You know, I always say that you can pray all you want, but if you don't move your feet, nothing's going to happen. God will help you get to wherever you want to go as long as you take the steps to get there. So writing down a resolution, making a wish, not taking action on it, is a dream that turns into a nightmare for me because I get all excited about something and then nothing takes place. What does that do for the rest of the 12 months or 11 months or 8 months, whatever's left in the year when you quit doing it? How does that help you move forward? Where does that do for you, for your faith? Because Satan's always working at breaking down in different areas of our lives. When we choose to be a better Christian, when we choose to get healthy, when we choose to join a gym and become more conscious of the temple that our body is, when we choose to do that, Satan's going to jump in there. He's going to try to do his part because that's what he does. So what is it going to take for you to lean into the Lord, be more responsible for the choices that you're trying to make? I've been reading and I've been seeing different things about how God has given us all a certain gift. None of us have the same gift. We're all different. We're all built differently. We all look different. But we all have a responsibility, and that is to use the gift that God gave us. Maybe you have more than one gift, not sure. But do you know what the gift is? Have you done that examination? And before you go making a commitment to what you're going to do this year, have you taken a look at what you haven't been doing so that you can focus on something that's going to better you and your relationship with the Lord, which will improve every area in your life? So every year, just like everyone else, I write down that resolution. And a couple years back, I stopped writing down a sentence or the list. I started using one word. I wanted to make it as easy as possible on me. Because at the end of the day, isn't it all about us? Making the commitment, sticking to it, not venturing off the trail? So I came up with the word freedom. For the last 2, maybe 3 years, I've been trying to create freedom. Freedom in my life, like freedom to be debt-free. Freedom to be able to not have any debt so I can make easier, better, wiser decisions, not based on what I need to do with that opportunity. Well, it hasn't been working out too good for me. I'm not debt free. I have been trying. It's not for a lack of trying. It's just, I'm not supposed to be there yet, I guess. And then I started thinking about some more, and that just sounded like an excuse. Maybe I'm not putting one foot in front of the other. Maybe I'm not taking the action I need to take. So this year I picked a new word. The new word for me is obedience. This year I want to be more obedient. In the 2016 year, I want to be as obedient as I can be, and I want to be obedient to the Lord. And if I can be obedient to Him, everything else I'm trying to do will work out. If I could be obedient to the choices that I'm going to make, if I could be obedient to not allowing Satan to dance in my playground, if I can do all these things and be more obedient, I will be better at being me. Now, look, I guarantee you I'm not the one that's going to master this year, but I do also guarantee that I'll be the one trying my hardest to do that. So sometimes we have to do things that are really difficult for us. Why did I pick the word obedience? Well, it has a lot of great meanings that kept coming up to me in my reading. But I think the deep down, honest to God's truth is I have trouble with it. So if you're struggling with something, you need to work on it. You know, they say if you want to learn something, teach it. So I have struggles with being obedient, so I'm going to practice it daily. Now, how do you do that? Well, a lot of people have a lot of different ways of doing things. Me, I'm a person that has a 3x5 card collection. And what I mean by that is when I hear something that I like, I write it down on a 3x5 card. When there's something I want to remind myself of, I write it down on a 3x5 card. When someone gives me a quote that I just think is just awesome, I write it down on a 3x5 card. So I took on a 3x5 card, and I wrote obedience on it and stuck it on my monitor of my computer. So that way, I spend a good part of my work days in front of my computer. I am able to remind myself of what it is that I want to do in the year 2016. Because, look, it doesn't matter if you're a good person or a bad person, if you're lazy or you're overly aggressive, whatever it is that your personality or nature brings. One of the things I know for sure is throughout our day, we get sidetracked. I call it head trash. We always have a lot of head trash running around upstairs in our brain. It's going crazy. And that's because Satan can jump in there when we're trying to do the things that please the Lord and try to stir up some interference. So when I look at that word, it gives me a second to stop, reflect, think about it, make sure that I'm doing it. And it doesn't matter if I wasn't doing it 3 minutes before I looked up. What matters is I continue back on that path. I'm a big fan of Andy Stanley. I watched one of his small group videos one day, and it was shown how he teaches people how to build guardrails on their road to the Lord. And what happens is if you build that guardrail, you can't drift out into a field. Well, as you know, I've been hosting radio shows for 7 years. I'm a speaker and an author. But one of the things that I do is I use that, and I give Andy the credit for it. But the word obedience for me is a challenge. But having that 3x5 card in front of me as much as possible is the guardrails I built on my road to the Lord. So that when I start to veer off, when I hear that fender hitting the metal of the guardrail, I can look up and see that card, and it'll remind me what it is that I'm trying to do. So whatever word it is in your life, whatever resolution it is in your life, whatever you're trying to do daily, pick something that will work for you. For me, it's a 3x5 card. Why? I don't know. I just, I guess I'm not young enough to have it on my phone. Maybe I should have a screensaver on my phone that has obedience so I could just look at that, or even on my computer. But a 3x5 card works for me. I can use it as a bookmark. I can carry it around with me. It just works for me. So whatever works for you, use that tool and start doing it and start recognizing the change. And when you see the change, just know that you're experiencing that change so you can teach someone else that. Because at the end of the day, the Lord wants us to share everything that happens with us with people around us, so they can gain access to the same opportunity, so that they can be able to improve themselves. Now, you can't hammer it into them. You can't force them to do anything, but you can be ready to share what it is that you're doing in your life to make a difference. Because not every day, But one day out of the week, the month, the year, someone's going to ask you, how do you handle this or that? What is your suggestion? What do you think? Maybe it's a stranger. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone in your small group. Maybe it's one of your children or your spouse. I don't know. But are you going to be prepared? You're going to just wing it? It's a choice you need to make. So that's just my piece on the new 2016 resolution, the new changes that we're going to make this year. Mine is to be more obedient. And, you know, that covers a lot of territory. So choose your word wisely and commit to it. And look back over the years where you've made the mistakes and try getting mad about it. Sometimes when we get mad, we stay committed. Just work through it. You can call into the show, 347-989-1363, and let us know how you're doing with that. We're here every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, coming to you live out of the Tough Talk Radio Network studios in Houston, Texas. Now, my name is Tony Gambone, and I'm excited to connect with everyone, so make sure to go to Facebook and look me up. Connect with me, Tough Talk Radio Network on Facebook, on Twitter, TTR Network, or Tony Gambone. I'm everywhere that you can go, so just type my name into the Google search bar and let's connect. I'd love to learn more about what you're doing, have you as a guest on the show. I love when people come and tell the fascinating things that God has done in their lives. Some people call it miracles and some people call it eye-openers. Okay, and it, for me, it was an eye-opener to recognize that miracles really do happen. And if you share it, oh my goodness, what a miracle it becomes. So we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to come back with my first guest, who has been on the show before, Danetta Anthony. She resides in Chicago, Illinois, with her husband, children, and grandchildren. And, well, she's a native of Chicago. She has done some stuff. She's written a book. And we're real excited to have her back on because she's stepping out of her comfort zone this year. She's committed to start bringing her information to workshops locally in the Chicago area and also virtually so people around the world can tune into this. So you're going to have a great opportunity to meet a lady that wrote the love story. It's, well, just stay tuned and come back to us here in a second. We're going to take a break, fill up your coffee, get another bottle of water, and get a piece of paper and start thinking about that one word and be prepared to take some notes because Danetta Anthony is going to bring you some great information. We'll be right back after this break.
Working hard but not making money? Are you ready to finally start being paid what you are worth? Learn how business strategy coach Michelle Sism and her clients are creating six-plus figure businesses. Check out Michelle Sism's free video series where she reveals her step-by-step strategy for creating consistent cash flow in your business. You can learn more at highlypaidauthority.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Okay, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm coming to you live out of the city of Houston, Texas, and excited today being the first show back in 2016. If you're just joining us, we talked about in the monologue committing to your resolution. And for me, I just try to dumb it down and make it easy for myself and select it one word instead of a whole sentence or a list of things. So for me, it was obedience, and we talked about putting it down on a 3x5 card so we could carry it around with us to remind us of what it is we're trying to do. Whatever it is that you decide to do, I hope you'll share it with us on the show. You can always call in and ask questions or give us your feedback at 347-989-1363. As I mentioned, my first guest today, Stanetta Anthony, resides in Chicago, where she is, well, that's where she's from originally as well. And so she is an author of a book, and she is starting, as I mentioned, to come out and speak to people and help them through their journey in life and overcoming some adversities that she's experienced as well. So without wasting any more time, Stanetta Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tony. How are you? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you. And so let me ask you, you're in Chicago. I'm in Houston, Texas. And I got to tell you, you know, we had a little bit of cold weather come in. It got down in the 40s. So what's it like in Chicago?
Well, there is snow on the ground, and it is about 32 right now. So it's about a high of 32. So that's supposed to be the highest that it gets. Where they're forecasting a snowstorm. Hopefully we won't get that. But it's Chicago weather for the wintertime. It's a mild winter compared to other winters. And so for January, it's great. It's not. I'm not shoveling as much as I did in previous years. And I can put on a little lighter coat, but not too light. And I can go outside without my gloves on. So it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, Stanetta, before we dig into all the things that you're doing, and really we are blessed to have you on the show because you are doing some great stuff in the book, The Love Story, including God, really tells the story of Jesus Christ in an innovative and sensational manner. Excuse me, my lips are moving faster than my words this morning, but I want to find out, you know, I've been talking to people all week long about the New Year's, and I think that sometimes we set ourselves up to fail, we set ourselves up to having a reason or an excuse not to be able to succeed, and being an author and being someone that helps people with creative writing and learning how to overcome different things as you are a writer, because that's a very difficult field for me anyway. But what is it that you decided in the new year that you were going to make a change in your life?
Well, one of the things I do is before the new year begins, I like to go and pray and ask God, what is it that I should be doing in the new year? What can I change? How can I be better? Should I do something better? Should I take something out? So that's one of my things. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It's just like, okay, you know the plans that you have for me. You know what you caused me to succeed. You know what you created me to be. So I ask God for his plans, whatever they are for my life. They can be something big. They can be something small. So this year, I am launching out with being a speaker, which I never thought I would be doing. And so that's taking me into another career, not just being an author, but being a speaker. And that is something that I never thought I would do because I'm always in the background. I love being in the background. I love helping people in the background. You don't ever have to know my name. You don't never have to know my face or anything. And so now it's getting so where people know my name and people know my face. And so with that, I still have to, I'm being more cautious and careful in how I speak to people, what my attitude is. Just how my character is overall, especially in the public. I don't want to be Kim Kardashian or where you see me, she's just a mean lady or something like that. So I want to be pleasant. I want to be approachable. So those are the things that I am currently working on. Don't want to be too short-tempered when I'm out, because I can be sometimes. And so I'm working on those things, and I'm asking God daily to, you know, really help me to be the person that He created me to be. So that's what I'm doing. So that's my goal for this year.
Okay. Not easy, that goal.
No, it's not. It's not easy. It's not easy. Oh no, it's not easy at all.
And what I've noticed, you know, as you become a speaker, what I've noticed, I mean, as an author, it brings us into becoming a speaker. And when we become that speaker, we then have to look at the fact that we have to be careful how we act. And what I like about that is that along the trail, it allows us to be what we were supposed to be doing before we realized that anybody recognized us for not being in the back of the room. So it's kind of neat how that takes you to where you have to be, knowing that we were supposed to be careful what we say, how we act, and all that on a daily basis as Christians, right? But when we start seeing ourselves in front of the room instead of in the back of the room, we seem to pay attention to that. It's like the light's on us now, right? So I think it's awesome that God brought you to being an author, so that He could get you to where He wanted you in the front of the room to talk about how important it is to be careful of your actions.
Most definitely, most definitely. And regardless, I believe regardless of whether you're in the front of the room or the back of the room, God wants us to be responsible for our actions. And so it's just that sometimes when the spotlight is on you, you're like, oh, you got to really be watchful. You got to really be watchful. So we want to be watchful of who we are as Christians. We want our behavior to be Christ-like. And so if we're formed in the image and the likeness of Him, we want to be His image. We want to reflect who He is. And so that's the bottom line, is being a Christian.
Yeah, and it's hard, okay? And being in front of the room, back of the room, the side of the room, just being is hard to be good every day at trying to do the right thing. I mean, it's the struggle that I find all the time for me because we're not built. We were designed not to be perfect. That was the Lord. But yet we try so hard to do that. So it's just I think it's healthy that the Lord has brought you to a place now where you are more focused on appearing properly in front of the room. And I think that's a huge step. And I think it's even bigger that He's allowed you to gain the confidence and the faith in Him to be able to step up in front of the room. Because people stay in the back of the room for a lot of reasons. And so I think that's awesome. I really do.
Well, I was kind of pushed to the front of the room. It wasn't a decision. I was like, you know, some people want to be in the front of the room. I didn't want to be in the front of the room. So Tony, he pushed me into the front of the room. And I was like, oh, here I am. And so that was that. So he pushed me there. It wasn't something that I wanted.
Well, fortunately for us,
I wanted to too.
Right, but we're very fortunate that He pushes us everywhere. So we'd never get anywhere on our own. So I just think that's a good opportunity for us. So anyway, let's talk about your book. People can find out more about you by going to your name, Stenetta Anthony, and that's Stenetta Anthony.weebly.com. And the book, The Love Story. Let's talk about how you decided to write the book. If someone reads the book, what they're going to get out of it.
Okay, well, writing this love story was kind of funny. When I say that God pushed me to the front of the room, I was, when I was writing the book, I never thought about being an author. Never thought about writing a book of any type, of any way, any time in my life. I guess maybe it was in the back of my mind, but I never really considered it. But I was writing it for a nursery curriculum, as part of a nursery curriculum for our church. And I just felt that I should just put it to the side. And later I had someone to read it, and they liked it, and they were like, where did you get the book from? And I was like, I wrote it myself. And they were like, have you thought about publishing? I was like, no, I'm not an author. I'm not a writer. But eventually I did, and so it was probably maybe about 3 years down the line, and so I wrote it and got it published, and so here we are today. And so the love story is a book that is recreated and retells the story of Jesus Christ in a different way. It is factual, but it has a little spin. I always compare it to the Three Bears because it starts off in one day in a place called heaven. And so I wanted it to be written and illustrated where anyone of any age can understand the life of Jesus Christ, because there are lots of children there who've never been introduced to God or know anything about him. And so I wanted to write a book, well, I wrote a book that introduces them to God in a simple way. And even if you're in the church and you know about God and everything, it's still fun where you can where you can read it and you'd be like, okay, we can break it down, because I've read it to my Sunday school class and I've broken it down to them. And so it's exciting, and we can read it at a bedtime story, because I have heard from several people that their children or their grandchildren like to read it at bedtime, and it's something simple. And it just shares the message of Jesus Christ, and it's unique, and I wanted to have children. That was one of my desires, to have children all throughout the book. And so at the end, instead of having the disciples looking up to heaven, I have a group of children who are looking at up to heaven as Jesus is going to heaven, and their Dalmatian dog. So that has a connection where the children are like, well, I'm here. I was here too. And so it just has them in every page, on every point where they can be seen. The children can see themselves. They can make that connection that Jesus loves me, even though we tell them that Jesus loves them. They need to have that connection as well, that Jesus loves them, and feel that in their hearts.
Now, how old are these children that were?
Well, they are from 0 to 5.
With.
I'm sorry, they are 0 to 5 years old, so they're infants to kindergarten, and so they can be. Children are a tough audience. If they
yes.
don't like something, there is no, you don't have to guess. If they don't like it, they're going to tell you, I don't like it. Or if they don't tell you with their words, they're going to tell you with their actions, we don't like it. And so my audience, they liked it, so I was okay. So if I'm reading to my audience, if I'm reading before, I'm working on a book now, and so I read to them, my audience, and if they like it, they let me know. If they don't, they let me know too. So I have to adjust myself accordingly. So my audience likes it, so I'm glad.
Well, and that's important, because at that age is something that's going to build a strength that's needed, especially in today's world with children. Because if it doesn't come on an iPad or a telephone, most of the times they're not getting it at home, because we live in a fast, busy, different type of world now. So being able to have a book like that to read to your child, I think would be a very good tool to use to get your children on the right path at a young age. So I want to – time goes quickly here, Stanetta. So one of the things that you and I have talked about in the past, and this is why I was really excited about having you back on the show, is you want to help people. I mean, you're helping children, and you wrote the book, but writing the book, and I was telling you, I'm on my fourth book. So one of the things is it's a little overwhelming. Every time you do a book, there's a new thing you learned. what you're looking to do is to sit down with people and help them understand how to make less mistakes along the way or how to deal with situations that happen. So let's talk about that for a second. I know you have a webinar coming up, I believe, in March. You did one in the end of last year. So how can people plug into that? What will they learn from it, and what is it that you're going to be teaching them?
Well, one of the things is, actually God gave me this, and it's called Manage Your Writing. And so he gave me an acronym for MANAGE. And so the acronym for MANAGE is, let me put on my glasses so I can see, because I do, like you, I don't have the 3x5, but I do have a legal pad for things down on. And so the M would stand for monitor. And so as a writer and an author or a prospective writer or for whatever sector of life you this can be used in, you need to monitor your progress. And so you need to determine where you are in your writing process. Are you in the beginning? Are you in the middle? Are you in the end? Or are you just thinking about it? Is it just a thought in your mind? So you need to decide where you are. You need to monitor that progress. And then you need to monitor how you're going to write. Are you going to write 10 minutes a day? Are you going to write 20 minutes a day? Are you going to write an hour? Are you going to write all night? So those are things that you need to consider as a writer or a prospective writer or if you're in the writing process. So we need to monitor those things just like we monitor everything else. And so the A stands for access. Now, who are you writing for? Are you writing for children? I'm a children's author, but in the future I'm going to be doing something else. So who are you writing for? Who is your audience? Who are you trying to reach? What is your message? How do you want to access those people? What are you going to do as far as that management to access your writing? How are you going to get it out there? The other thing is in, how to navigate. You have to navigate as an author. You have to navigate marketing, which is if you're not a salesman, you need to become a salesman or a saleswoman, because as an author, you're selling yourself. You're not just selling your book. You're selling yourself as well, because people make a connection with you. They may read your book, but we connect with people where if it's a celebrity, we may not know that celebrity, but we feel like we know that celebrity by what we read or an article or a television program or something, but there's something that we've connected with that, and so we need to navigate that. And then you need to utilize all of the resources that we have available around us, friends, family, everything that we can, we need to be able to navigate, not take advantage, but to navigate and utilize everything that we have. And so I wrote down here, just as a ship has a captain, writing has a captain too, and you're the captain. So you're the captain of your writing ship. So you need to make sure that you're navigating appropriately. And then we have the A, which is articulate. Okay, articulate is what kind of language are you going to use? Are you going to be, is it going to be childlike? Is it going to be technical? Is it going to be poetry written? How are you going to articulate your writing? And what gender is it? I'm sorry, not gender, but what gender? Are you writing specifically for women? Are you writing specifically for men? Are you writing specifically for maybe a bank? Maybe they ask you to do some technical writing. What are you articulating? What is your language? And so when you're writing, you need to determine when you're writing what kind of language you're going to use, because in writing, depending on what type of writer you are, the language is different for every type of writer. And then we have the G. Then we have the G, which is go for it. And when I mean go for it, just go for it. So, I mean, we were sitting and I heard and listening to your monologue at the beginning. It fits in perfectly with this. We sit on our hands, we sit on our feet, and we say, okay, God may say, okay, I want you to do this. And you'll be like, I'm going to do it next year. I'm going to do it the year after. I'm going to do it the year after. And we wait and we pray, and there's nothing wrong with praying because God wants us to pray. But the Bible says faith without works is dead. So we can have the faith and we can pray, But we got to do something, too. We got to put some actions behind that. And the last is exit, which means you're exiting out and you're coming into your writing. And so that is the acronym that I have for manage your writing. And like I said, it can be used for anything. So that's one of the things that I will be talking about in my seminar, in some of my seminars. And that's, I guess that's that. And then we're talking more about the marketing process. And like I said previously, being a salesman, you have to sell. It takes time. It takes energy. When you're going in the store, they're selling you something. When you're entering the market, it's subtle messages that are being sold to you. And you may not think that it's being sold, but it's being sold, just like I'm here on the podcast with you. I'm selling myself. And just like you're on the podcast, you're selling yourself as well. So we are salesmen, even though we may not think about it, but we're salesmen. And if you're timid, you have to come out of that timid state of, I have to talk. I have talked to authors who said, I don't like to talk. Well, then how many books are you going to sell if you never talk about it? No one knows that it's there if you never sell anything. Everyone promotes themselves in some type of way or fashion. And this is what I recognized in recent months when I watched, no matter who I watched on TV, no matter what film, they were promoting it. They were on the maybe promoting, I'm going to say, a new movie. Well, they're on the movie circuit, and they're out every day, no matter how many times a day. They're on talk shows, they're on radios, they're on everything, but they're promoting that program, so you have to promote yourself as an author. So even though you're just writing and you're like, this is fun, you have to consider all those things as a writer, and you have to come into where I'm going to be a speaker as well. So.
Well,
I'm sorry, that's a lot.
Yeah,
and
unfortunately, time runs out, and it's really good information. How can people contact you? How can they be a part of this? Is there a place they can sign up for it, an email where they can stay in touch with you? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, you know what? You can visit my website, which is stenettaanthony.weebly.com, which is stenettaanthony.weebly.com. I have my updates on there of when the approximate dates of the webinars would be, as well as you can reach me by email, which is Stenetta, stenetta.anthony, anthony@gmail.com. And if you shoot me an email, I will shoot you back, and I will give you the information of upcoming dates.
Well, we thank you so much for spending time with us here today, and stay warm in Chicago. And
let
us know when the webinar date is set so that we can make sure to help push it out there for you.
All right. Thanks so much, Tony, for having me on.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back with my second guest, a young lady by the name of Denise Fawcett Facey. And, well, she's also an author. So, and she's a leader of personal development workshops. So just stay tuned here for a second. We're just going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with my second guest.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, we just finished up our first interview with Stenetta Anthony out of Chicago, and you can learn more about connecting with her by going to stenettaanthony.weebly.com. Check out her book, The Love Story. It's a children's book for that talks about Jesus. And so my second guest, as I mentioned, is Denise Fawcett Facey, and she's an educator, author, blogger, leader of personal development workshops, all of it centers around making education fun for students. So without wasting any time, I'm excited to welcome Denise to the show. Welcome, Denise.
Thank you. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I am doing awesome. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks.
Okay, so one of the things I always like to do is let everyone know where you're calling in from and where you're from originally.
I'm calling in from Atlanta, where I've lived for, about 18 years, but I'm originally from New York.
Okay. And what brought you to Atlanta?
Well, for one thing, real estate is a lot more affordable in Atlanta, but Atlanta offers a lot of wonderful things as well. Many of the cultural things that you can enjoy in New York are also available in Atlanta, and that makes it a very nice place to live.
Yeah. Same way here in Houston. I couldn't believe how affordable real estate was, and I moved here from Las Vegas by way of Philadelphia. So it just seems
then you understand
in this area,
the difference.
Yeah, it is very much so. So, Denise, what I'm looking on your website, and I want people to know that they can, there we go, because I was on your Twitter account. So they can find you at, it's long, so I'm going to spell it. It's Denise Fawcett Facy, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, but it's D-E-N-I-S-D. FawcettFacey.com.
Right.
Now, you've written a few books.
I've written three so far. I'm working on my fourth.
So am I right in assuming that your background is education?
That's correct. I was in education for over 20 years. I was a classroom teacher and really enjoyed doing that. I enjoy working with kids. You know, I was a high school teacher. And before that, middle school, and people always thought working with teenagers would be difficult, but I always said someone's got to like them, and I do. So I worked with teenagers for that period of time, and then I began to feel God leading me in a different direction, and it turned out that writing was that direction. So I've been writing for the last several years.
So you were a school teacher, so you're in education, and the mind automatically thinks, well, if she's a teacher, it's got to be a gift to be a writer. I mean, that just comes with the territory. Is that true?
No, that's God. Because I really had not planned to write. That was, I really thought that I would continue to teach until I was old enough to retire, and then I'd retire and go off into the sunset. But that wasn't God's plan, and I began to realize that a few years ago, and I wasn't really sure what his idea was for me to do, but I knew that teaching was suddenly no longer what I was meant to be doing. And it was confusing because I had done it for so long and enjoyed it for so long. And I still liked the children, but I began to move in a different direction. And this really, the catalyst for the first book, which ironically is my current book, is actually the first one I wrote. The catalyst for that was a speech that I gave in school. I had been asked to speak at the Senior Leadership Day, which is actually a day that they have set up for the students who are the seniors who are graduating, and they pick those that they see as the leaders of the class, and they have a series of activities for them that day. And they have a morning and afternoon speaker, and I was the afternoon speaker. And having been asked to speak on goals and to kind of infuse it with my own life experiences, I discovered that it had an impact on many of the kids. And over the course of a few weeks, they came back and mentioned that to me, which was nice, but I put the speech away and didn't think of it again until the Lord brought it back to my mind about a year and a half later. And I kind of felt compelled to put that on paper. And I did, and that's my current book. So that's really the genesis of my writing career. It wasn't one that I had planned. It was one that God had planned for me. And I just simply followed that plan that he set forth.
So you give the speech. You're very humbled that they came back and said that what they said to you and how it was, you know, relatable and helpful, and they needed help trying to figure out their future as well. And you put it away, and then it brought it back out again. And the name of the book is Congratulations, Graduated, Now What? Helping in figuring out your future. I've interviewed a number of people in the school arena. And I took a gentleman here locally and who is speaking across the country about the takeover of public education in America. there's all types of things that we hear on the news, in the social neighborhood meetings or gatherings of kids that their parents are declaring whatever. And as a teacher, kind of like a doctor, you go in, or a lawyer, with one idea in mind, and the system makes you go a lot of different ways. So do you find that the books that you've written, and this isn't the only one, it's Can I Be in Your Class, and there's another one, The Social Studies Helper, do you find that you're providing in your books the help that children need that they aren't getting in class?
That was exactly my goal, Tony. When I wrote The Social Studies Helper, it was designed for high school teachers because there was nothing that was there available for high school teachers to provide things that made learning fun, that made learning enjoyable. There are lots of books out there for middle school and elementary school particularly, but nothing for high school. So I put that together in, so that they would have it, but also so that the kids would have something that made learning exciting. You know, most of the time when you ask kids how's school, many kids will say it's boring or just fine. And I really want kids to be able to say, I love it. It's wonderful. And to be able to talk about why it is. And not many kids have that feeling about it. That's what I wanted. The second book, Can I Be in Your Class, even the title came from the kids, because I would have kids who would come to the door and say, can I be in your class? And, of course, they can't. I've got all of my students. But I'd often ask, why do you want to be in my class? And their answer was, well, they knew about projects we were doing. They knew about activities we were doing, and they wanted to do them. And I figured if teachers were doing those types of things in their classes, the kids would be content to be where they are. And so that book also is designed to make learning an invigorating experience, to make learning something that kids look forward to. I always loved it when the kids would come to my room and say, what are we going to do today? And they were excited about it, as if they came with the expectation that they were going to do something that was intriguing, that was interesting, that was exciting, and they wanted that. That's kind of what these books are for. To help the teachers prepare to make learning fun and exciting and to make it a place where kids want to be. The third book was specifically for the kids, and that's the one that's currently out, Congratulations, Graduate, Now What? Because students so often focus on graduation day. That's the big event. I'm graduating. I'm getting there. They'll come in senior year saying, I'm a senior. I'm out of here. And then they get to May and realize, wow, I really am out of here. And it's the same sentence, but they say it in a very different way in May from the way they say it in the beginning of the school year. And that's when the feeling hits them.
It goes from excitement to fear.
Different with their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think that it goes from excitement to fear.
Absolutely. And that's what this book is for, to kind of guide them. It's the kind of advice that I gave to my senior classes often on the side, but it's all collated in one place. That helps them to sit down and figure out, okay, who am I? What do I want to do with my life? And because I'm no longer in school, I could also infuse it with a little bit of scripture to say to them, you know, there is a plan and a purpose for your life. You have all of these gifts and talents within you that are meant to be used to give you a career that you will really enjoy and a career that really glorifies God as well.
Okay, so You have two great arenas that you're providing stuff for. You have the school teacher and the school student. And so the students, let's take that first. I see that on your website, you're on Twitter, okay, and you're on Facebook. It was very easy to find you on both. The kids, especially seniors. My youngest is going to be 21 this year, but it's Snapchat, Instagram. It's not as much Facebook. They're still traveling around on Facebook. How do you stay connected to them? Maybe it's through a link that you can send out to them to keep them on maybe your newsletter or your blogs or stuff like that, or do you?
Interestingly, I'm still in touch with many of the students that I taught over the years through Facebook. And that kind of is a word of mouth thing. And so things get out through word of mouth. And as well, many of the teachers that I taught with, neighbors, friends, have children that are that age. and because they're aware of what I'm doing, have purchased the books for them, and that has become a catalyst for other purchases.
Okay, so the teachers, let's take that side. Now, you know, I mentioned, here in Texas, it seems as though they have to teach to the test, and the test is something that gives them exemplary something or another. When it comes down to the end of the day, it's how the school gets funding.
Sure.
So it seems that they're teaching to the test versus teaching from the heart like you're doing, right? So when it comes to allowing a teacher to be a part of this and understand more about it, is there that, well, you know, my hands are tied, I'm just trying to get to the last years so I can get my retirement and get out of here type thing? Do you find that a situation?
I find that, unfortunately, many people do get focused on the test. It is a much more test-driven educational milieu than it was when I first started teaching. And really that was one of the things that had me to reassess what my own role in teaching. Because I taught AP classes, and by definition, advanced placement classes have an exam at the end. It's an international exam. And what I found was that although I had to prepare my students for that exam, and I don't know what's going to be on it precisely, so I have to prepare them for everything that that subject covers, I could still find ways to make it fun and interesting so that we weren't doing worksheets and we weren't just bubbling in grids and we could not spend a year on that. That is mind-numbing. And that's not what education should be. That's not what education really is. Education should be something that makes students come in and desire to know more about it, that will have them seeking more information, that will have them interested in creating new things from it, that becomes a catalyst for their own innovation. And so in order to do that, I had to come up with ways to convey the same content knowledge that they wanted to, that they needed to have, in ways that would make it engaging and interesting for them. And so I did that through projects, through classroom activities, through group work, through different things like that. And I think that that's what teachers sometimes forget, is that although, yes, testing has become far too important, it's not something that we as individuals should allow to rule our classrooms. Unfortunately, because the tests are the be-all and end-all for the students in terms of, for some, it determines whether they move to the next grade, it determines whether they graduate, and increasingly, it determines the rating for teachers. It causes people to get very focused on the exams. It's only natural. Mm-hmm. And they begin to think that if they're not preparing for the test all the time, that they're not teaching. I think that you can combine the two, that you can effectively teach your content and make it interesting and fun at the same time. It just requires a little bit more thought and creativity, but you can do that.
Right, right. You have to just get out of the box a little bit. And kind
That's
of,
right.
You know, when I speak in front of a group of people, I'm prepared to speak about the topic, but I have no idea what it is about that topic they want to learn. So you have to include the audience or the class into what it is they want to learn or how they want to go about it. So if they're empowered to be a part of it, they're going to be empowered to want to learn it. So
absolutely.
But sometimes, you know, and I think the teachers are, you know, overworked and underpaid. A lot of people land in the teaching position because their corporate job didn't work out and they have a degree and that was the only thing left. So I just think that it's a shame that we're leaving that's what we're leaving up to our children coming forward. Okay, I don't know. My question now to you, Denise, is moving forward, knowing what you know, you're going to stay in touch with those students, and they're going to graduate high school, and they're going to go into college, and they're going to have kids, and they're going to say that their teacher, you know, Miss Facey was awesome, you know, but how are you going to continue to grow outside the box? So, for instance, I'm looking at what you're doing, and I'm thinking, okay, so first year of college, you know, opening day or, you know, their orientation, there should be a little bit of Denise in the room.
What I have found is that, you know, because I left teaching a few years ago, many of my students have now graduated from college. And then, of course, those that I taught a number of years ago are the ones that you just mentioned, are adults who are married and have children and all of that now. And it's wonderful to keep in touch and see where they are from then to now. What I have found is I'm blessed because many of them do remember our time together, and they do reflect on maybe advice that they were given or ways that things were done in class. I have a few students who are currently teachers and have said that they've patterned some of the things they do after things that we did in class. And I don't take that as necessarily being all about me, but rather about what they enjoyed learning and what they wanted to bring to their own students. So it continues. The legacy continues of what they had. It goes on.
But, and I respect your humbleness, but it has to be a little bit about you, because it was about you that made them become who they are. So if I could just take you down the selfish road for a second, okay, and look at the people that are going into college that never had the experience of even knowing your name, a book, or anything like that. There's got to be some type of program, workshop, something that you can do that allows these students, because, look, there's a lot of students that don't want to go to college for all the reasons that they have. There's a lot of students who want to go to college, but they're not prepared from what they were taught. And then there's the ones that are going to fight through anything and looking and searching for help to get there. I think, and this is just an uneducated opinion, but I think that your work has just started.
Well, you know what? One of the things that I mentioned in my book is that college is not for everyone. And I think that that's one of the things that we've gotten away from in education that we need to get back to, is that schools once prepared all of the students. So those who were not going to college were prepared with a vocation. At least that's what it was once called, a vocation, where they had training, specialized training, so that when they left high school, they were prepared for a particular field of study, a particular field that they could go out and work in that field and be gainfully employed when they left high school. Too many of the high schools have gotten away from that, and I think that it's important to do that because not everyone is going to be a college scholar, but everyone has talents and gifts that can be channeled into something that is productive and that will earn them a good living. Everyone has that ability, and I think that for the students who are not going to go to college or any of those who are, there are so many opportunities available to them that they're not aware of. I have, if they wanted to contact me, that's easy. My website is up, and anybody can contact me through my website. And you can reach my email through the same thing. It's my name, DeniseFawcettFacey.com. And so I'm always a resource. I'm always available. But what I often recommend for students who don't know me and may not be aware of how to reach me is that there's usually at least one person in that school building who is willing to be that mentor, one person who cares, and that's what every student needs, at least one person who cares enough about them, not just academically, but personally cares about them, so that they can be a person you can go to, someone that you can confide in, someone who will lead you in the right direction. If they have that one person, it can make all the difference in the student's life.
Denise, unfortunately, we run out of time quickly here, but I have interviewed lawyers that stopped teaching law and started teaching lawyers on what to expect when they become a lawyer or what it was that they were going to do before they decided to become a lawyer. I don't know, for some reason, it's just coming through me that your work has just begun and you're going to be helping so many other people. Do you do workshops? Do you do anything with
people? I do. In the summertime, I work along with workshops that are offered for teachers. They're not for students this time. These are for teachers. And I do that in the summertime, and I enjoy that because it does give me an opportunity to share my own experiences and techniques and practices with other educators. And that, I find that just as invigorating as they might find it. And so that does give me that opportunity to do that. And I hope that possibly I'll have a chance to do that with students as well.
Well, I know, for some reason, I just feel as though God's not done with you yet. He's got so many more great things that you're going to be doing, and I hope that you stay in touch with us and let us know what it is when the next book comes out, because I'm sure there's a lot more books coming.
I certainly will keep in touch with you. The next one is going to be specifically for Christian educators.
awesome. I would love to help you promote anything you're doing. I think you're awesome, and I thank God for blessing us with you today here on the show.
Thanks so much,
what you're
Tony.
Doing, people have forgotten about. You know, they're just in their daily routine. So you are able to help people recognize the reason why they got into what they were doing in the beginning. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
And thank you for inviting me. I've enjoyed being here.
All right. We'll talk soon. Hey, folks, we're out of time. No time for a recap. But if you haven't listened to the whole interview here, go back and meet Stanetta Anthony and Denise Fawcett Facey and learn about what Stanetta's doing with little children and what Denise is doing with adult-sized children. So I hope that everyone has a blessed week and a happy new year so far. And pick out your word for the year. Remember, mine is obedience. What are you going to do this year to keep in line for your, well, your new year? I wish everyone a blessed day and a blessed week, and we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.